Hello and welcome to Just Some Guardians, episode 3. We're 3 deep now, right? Yeah, episode 3. So we are primarily a Destiny podcast premised around the fact that we are moving through the game at a pace Bungie more intended. But through some internal discussion, we've decided that instead of doing a weekly Destiny podcast, we are now going to do every other week for Destiny content. And then in between, just a regular sit down and just talk all things nerdy. Movies, TV shows, other video games, because there's a lot of other video games out there. This year has been really good for them. So many good ones. Very good year for gaming. And just anything else we want to sit and chat about. So relax that we're going to sit here and play Worms while we're doing this. So if you get some random I hate yous or laughter or explosion sounds, that's what's going on there. This is super chillaxed. So with me for our first in-between nerdy talk, we have Nick returning. Welcome back, my friend.
Hi.
And we have Russell. Yay! Right.
Oh. It is good to be back. I listened to the last one. And responded as if I was in the room when I listened to it.
I believe now, I could see you doing that.
Did we respond back to you? Because then that would be a level of friendship that is never accomplished.
No, do you know how many times he'll accidentally mute himself and then come back 10 minutes later and be like, I would say stuff and you guys would respond like I was talking, but I've been muted for 10 minutes. So I had no idea.
It happens.
The time.
We all just have that little Nick voice in our heads.
Right. So last week I explained why it was that you were out. Is there an update on said situation?
Yes. We found, first of all, we looked at like 5 or 6 different properties. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. And we fell in love with a gated apartment complex. And we also fell in love with this cute little 3-bedroom bungalow. In one of the safer neighborhoods of the Western Metro Detroit area. And we sent in an application for the house to rent it, and we were approved. Yay. And we are just waiting for the lease so we can sign it, send over the security deposit. And that's a cute little 3-bedroom, 1-bath house, finished basement, fenced-in backyard, 2-car garage.
Question. Is a bungalow related to a bungus?
No.
No.
Bungalows? Yeah, are they
yes.
related?
Those okay. of you I not within that. Our community, you should be. I won't even say the word. There's a word that Nick is trying to make stick, and I refuse to use it.
Yeah, the fact that you refuse to use it is a bunch of bungus.
And he's turned the rest of the clan against me. I've almost almost dropped it like 2 or 3 times and catch myself.
It'll come, Brett. It'll come.
One day.
I was really close the other day and like made the first syllable and slapped myself. No.
I mean, if it's better for you, you could say dungus.
No, nothing even close.
You could also call someone a dingus.
A dingus con?
No, dingus, like ding dong.
Or who's if there? You start to slip, you can just turn it into bunion.
I mean, if you really wanted to.
Also, I'm getting over a cold, so if I just start coughing sporadically while laughing, I apologize.
No, it's because he aspirated and there's water in his lungs.
Alright, so we're gonna start our Worms game, so I apologize.
There's a little skunk running across the screen.
So to make this easier on everyone, I had no one really did it, but so I got a list of items that we all wanted to discuss at some point tonight. And instead of sitting down and making an actual schedule, I put them all in an app called Random Picker. and I'm just going to press a button, and it'll just throw subjects at us, and then we'll just go talk about stuff from there. So,
oh boy,
are we ready?
Yes.
Oh, I'm supposed to be choosing a map. I'm sorry. We'll start here. Whatever. That works. I'm just pressing
Cheese.
buttons. Oh, God. I'm trying to figure out the game right now. Sorry, friends. How do I go to continue? Yeah, there we go. Okay. So our first topic of conversation
Is dum dum
that's actually
dum.
a really perfect topic first. So
What is your definition of is?
we are usually a Destiny podcast, but when you are not playing Destiny currently, what is your game of choice?
Oh.
Let's start with Nick. What are you playing when you're not playing Destiny?
Well, I mean, right now I'm playing Worms. What the heck am I doing?
Well played. So you're moving, and then you press a button to open up your weapons, and then you use them to kill us. But right now it's
Dude.
Russell's turn.
Oh, it's turn-based.
Yeah. No,
I
it's
did
not All
not
Out
know that.
Warfare. Yeah. Yeah, it's
First
turn-based. Yeah, we're explaining the game that you are not going to physically be able to watch this unless you're in the live stream, so that'll be confusing.
blood. Sorry.
That's part of
It
the
happens.
deal. Part of the deal. Anyway, when you're not playing Worms or Destiny, what is your game of choice right now, my man?
I would honestly have to say Overwatch.
Lots of Overwatch.
Oh yeah. Oh, I can move or attack. I can't do both.
Oh, really?
Let's go.
I don't know.
Well,
I
I'm
jumped
moving.
and
I'm gonna do this
yeah,
too.
I would definitely say Overwatch. I just recently also downloaded Dying Light, the enhanced edition, and I want to start playing that also.
You know,
Which
I hear it's
one's
really good.
which one's Dying Light again? I'm sorry. It's
Dying
the
Light
zombie
is
one.
that first person like parkour
Oh,
zombie survival
right.
one. Yeah. It was on sale on PSN and I grabbed the enhanced edition for like $12. It was
That's beautiful.
yours.
I was watching a thing the other day and it was on the list of like the top most underrated games of like this year, I guess.
It's so good.
Yeah, you had me watch the trailer and I was blown away. Like, I honestly never heard of it and I feel bad for it because I watched the trailer and I was like, this is right up my alley. I can't believe I've never watched this. It looked really good. So with the Overwatch thing, we've actually the whole clan has actually been getting together and playing that a lot. But how
I don't know how to do anything.
You're just slapping me in the face with your tail.
Well, if you'd actually played the intermission when it taught you how to play the game. So you aim with a stick and then press X to actually use your weapon against one of us.
That's beneficial.
Okay, sorry again, guys. So what about Overwatch draws you in? What is that? What brings you into that and makes you just keep coming back and back and back?
For one, I feel like I exist, or I feel like the game takes place in the universe of Big Hero 6.
Oh,
The art style like immediately drew me in. I thought it was beautiful. Really, it's how approachable I think the game is. It's very complex, big picture, but it's super easy to pick up. I mean, so easy. People look at the list of heroes and they're like, "Oh my God, there's so many people. I
Oh.
don't know what, you know." I know
Yeah.
every hero has their gimmick, but overall, someone just fell in the water.
Yeah, that might have been me.
Overall, it's a extremely approachable game. It's got a basic premise. You can't miss what the objective is. I mean, they put it right in front of your face. And it's super team oriented, which I think is just beautiful. Very frequently, my whole family will be playing. It'll be me, my sister or mother. They share a PlayStation. Jake, and then Brett, and then my brother Jeremy and me. And it's like it's a crazy. I think we're all just dead down here. It's just fun. I don't know. That's not very coherent.
Oh, for sure. Well, I like
I'm on
the
it.
gameplay itself is it's very smooth.
Let's go.
Yeah, It's one of the most refined games I've ever played.
And you know, Blizzard's kind of good at doing stuff like that.
Right.
The second you see the word Blizzard on a game, you're like, yep, all right, this is gonna be good.
You know, that's actually why I got Overwatch in the first place, is because the Blizzard name was attached to it, and I was like, I like pretty much everything that Blizzard puts out, even though I'm not a super big fan of WoW. But just like knowing that Blizzard was behind it, and plus it was instead of being turn-based, it was, you know, live action. Being able to do that was a really big plus for me. So that's why I picked up Overwatch, because I was super excited about that move in
Well,
that direction.
that and Brett, you can attest to this. I always play a healer.
Yep. In everything.
Healing is kind of my thing. And
You'll regret that.
haha. Oh, sorry. I hit you with a baseball bat. No, healing's my thing, and I actually really I played Heroes of the Storm a lot a couple of years ago, and it's a fun game, yes, but it's very rage-inducing because the community is extremely toxic, I think. And Overwatch, you don't have to deal. We don't play on PC; we play on PS4, obviously. So there's no chat that's going on. So it's like, okay, number one, I don't have to deal with that, and then number two,
I'm out of here.
The healing mechanics of the game actually allow me, like, I mean, Mercy. Number one, I have terrible, I've been doing that a lot tonight, numbering things. Bullet point one, I have terrible aim, so playing as Mercy is actually a lot of fun for me because I don't have to worry about having terrible aim because I don't really have to shoot that often unless I go Apache helicopter mode, but that's another story. It's nice because I can make a huge difference in my team, even though I can't aim in a first-person shooter, or yeah, first-person shooting game.
Oh, for sure. And it's nice, you know, with Mercy, you just kind of like, well, through this way, I'm going to press this button and the magical healing beams will find them.
And then it's more like with Mercy, I find the skill ceiling with her is in knowing where to be and when to be there. It has nothing to do with the actual apt healing. That's the easy part. The difficult part is knowing where to go and when to go there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's
So
really
that's
fun
why I
to
love.
watch you be Mercy, you know, because you're just
That's
all over the
why
place at all time.
I love to play Orisa because I know I have like a safe haven.
And I'm just super glad that Russell got it so that we have a Reinhardt all the time.
Yeah.
Because that guy's
Well,
bananas.
I mean, again, it kind of goes back to what Nick was saying about he likes playing Mercy because he doesn't have to aim. That's why I like being Reinhardt. I don't have to aim. I don't have to worry about people jumping around and me trying to keep my cursor on them. I just throw up a big shield, and then if somebody gets in my face, I swing a big hammer at them until they're dead. So
And who
that makes
doesn't
things a
want
lot
to?
easier.
Well, just the sheer fact that the mechanic of charging someone is just like a freaking jet engine on your back.
It's so fun.
I love it.
That ability to, especially it works super well with tanks, you know, because you pin a tank, and then you just swing away until they're dead, because that charge, especially if you slam them up against a wall, is taking most of their health and they're stunned. So you just keep swinging. So it's really satisfying when you're holding your shield up, you're protecting everybody, and then this tank comes up and they think they can, you know, take out your team, and you just go, "No, I don't think so," and you charge into them and swing away and then throw up your shield again. It's super satisfying.
Not today, Junior. Not today.
Right.
Well, same question. Throwing it over to you, Russ. When you're not playing Destiny or Worms currently, what's your game of
Currently.
choice?
Are we talking video games
We're talking
or?
video games right now. We can jump into everything else here soon. Definitely.
Okay.
The Magic
You
app will
know,
bring that up.
I've got to say, well, it's Dark Souls, because Dark Souls is the bomb. And so I mean, yeah, that's what I usually play. Oh, that went a lot further. Okay. I
Oh
didn't
my
know
God.
that shot like
What are
that.
you doing?
I didn't know it shot that far. So that was useless. So I play a lot of Dark Souls, because right now I've been playing a lot of Dark Souls 3 and going back and playing some of the DLC, but the combat is just super smooth. I really enjoy that kind of the ability. It's what I've always wanted in like an action game, because you can feel when you're really good, you feel super powerful. But there is never a moment where you don't feel in danger of losing everything that you have either. Like,
Ready.
because if you're not paying attention and you're not focusing, you will die. Like, at all times. And even like weak enemies, because there's they just things so well to the point to where even when you're against weaker people, you still have the potential of getting swarmed and killed. And the story that goes along with it, and just how everything is told kind of just through the items and the environment, is just this really just fascinating way of storytelling. And everything just feels so epic. And I love how you can, no matter where you look on the horizon, you see these buildings or places, and you know that eventually you're going to get there somehow.
So it's not just like a
And
backdrop, it's actually like.
no, and that's one of the coolest things to me. Like, their world design is just spectacular, because you can see, like, so for instance, you start out, well, one of the first main areas is this castle, and you can look down from the castle wall and you can see this cathedral off in the distance. And then you get to the cathedral and you look back and you go, I was just there. And then you progress further in and you're in this village of all these undead people, and you look back and you can see the cathedral up on this cliffside. And then you look down and you can see the Boreal Valley. And then up further from the Boreal Valley, you can see the Cathedral of the Deep. And it's just, the world design is beyond anything that I've ever seen in any video game, and it's
That's
amazing.
cool.
It's immersive. It's, and you hunt down and you find these weapons and these items, and you it's very strategy based, because you want to base your character off of like the weapon that you want to use or the weapons that you want to use. And you have to build this character specifically for PvP or PvE, because some weapons don't work in PvP because you'll get annihilated. And it's just, I don't know. Dark Souls is probably one of the few games that I can just go back and play over and over and over again.
Well, I'm excited. Update, I don't know if you heard, but so I guess for Cyber Monday today, the some sort of gold, some sort of Dark Souls edition with all the DLC was on super sale. And Luthien's been really bothering me to get Dark Souls so you guys can run me through it, since I'm like the only person that's never played it. So
Well,
he
I've never played it.
I thought you have. I thought I've heard you talk about it before.
I saw somebody play it.
Just killed myself.
That's still more than I've done, but well, we'll have to get you it too. But so he actually picked it up for me, and then is having it shipped to me, and then they're gonna run me through it for the first time. So I'm excited to start the Dark Souls journey myself, because that's one game, like, for some reason I've never watched anything. Like, I've seen some screenshots and I've heard a bunch about it, because it's the game of games that everyone talks about, but I've never
Are we
watched
talking like Dark
videos.
Souls 3?
Just Dark Souls in general. I've never like I know all the community humor, like I know all the inside jokes because it's all over the interwebs, but I've never actually watched gameplay or any or actually played any of them. So this is I'm going in completely blind and I'm super excited for the journey.
So it's the regular Dark Souls.
Well, it's gonna he got me Dark Souls
Dark
3,
Souls 3.
so apparently to him I guess, and it makes sense. I guess Dark Souls 3 is the easiest, air quotes, of the Dark Souls.
It
And
is.
so it was the better one to introduce me to, I guess. So he's starting me at 3 so I can, I guess, learn the universe, because as we talked about in the last podcast, the thing that got him dragged into Destiny was the universe and the lore before anything else. And so he really wants to drag me into that for Dark Souls. And so apparently it's really good and deep in the third edition. So I am the
Interesting.
excite.
It's pretty deep in all of them, and they all kind of have these interconnecting stories, even to the point of like Bloodborne, because and they refer to it as Blood Souls, right? Is kind of the connection between, or the connection between the two disparate titles, because there's Demon Souls, which was the original title, and then they did Dark Souls, and then in between Dark Souls 2 and 3, Bloodborne came out. And Bloodborne is a really good game as well. And so Dark Souls 3, I mean, all of them have a really immersive lore system that, you mostly find out through occasionally, I mean, you run into the occasional NPC, and they kind of give you some information, but it's mostly done through picking up items and reading about these items, and that's how you begin to
Why?
learn about these different environments. But Dark Souls 3 is a little bit easier. They because Dark Souls 1, part of the difficulty was the fact that it wasn't as fine-tuned. And so like that was oddly part of the difficulty. Still love Dark Souls. Dark Souls 1, I've never played Dark Souls 2, surprisingly, for how much I love Dark Souls, but Dark Souls 4, 1 was awesome, and it sucked me in right away. Because it was crazy difficult. But then also, Dark Souls 3, I don't know, that one's just my favorite out of all of them.
Yeah, I'm
So I
excited
guess
by them.
we're on the subject of Dark Souls. I don't know a terrible amount about it, but you say. You said earlier that, wow, I have one worm left with no health. That's cute. Well, I guess I.
You can take me with you. Anyway, on the subject of Dark Souls, what?
Ha!
Knocked me off with a bat. Ugh.
You said that you kind of design your character around the weapon that you're going to use. Do you
That's
want
way accurate.
to elaborate a little more on that? Because me, the minute someone tells me that a game has like a class system or a weapon-based, like archetype system, my ears perk up like the goodest boy, and I want to know everything there is to know about it.
Well, okay, so like the interesting thing about Dark Souls is this, like there's not necessarily a class system. Like you don't really run into that. It's not so much a matter of class. What you have are you have a series of stats that you dump points into. So the whole thing, and the reason it's called Dark Souls is, and I could go into all sorts of lore stuff too,
This isn't
if you
gonna
really want to.
spoil me when I go into the game, is it?
No.
Okay, good.
I mean, like I said, there's not really like that's kind of the interesting thing about Dark Souls. It's not really about the story. It's really focused on the gameplay. I mean, like the story and the lore are really interesting things, but it's not anything that spoils the story for you because there's a story, but it's very background to the gameplay and the environment. But so what you have is you have a series of stats that you can dump souls into because Dark Souls is based around the fact that so as you kill things, you collect souls, right? And it's your currency
What?
for buying new armor, leveling up, pretty much doing anything and everything in the game that involves progressing. It's based on souls, other than killing things. And so that and that's and so you use those to level up those stats. And so you get 1 point per level. And you buy those based on souls. So at the beginning of the game, you can conceivably get through the first part of the game without losing any of your souls, because every time you die, what happens is your souls drop where you died.
So
You go back.
it's like when you get hit by something in Sonic, all your rings fly everywhere like that.
Except you die. Like you die, your souls drop, and they drop, and so you go back to the bonfire, which is like a checkpoint, right? It's also
So
where
is
you
it re
level up and
I
everything.
guess quick clarifying question. So when you die, do you lose all of your souls, or do you lose like a small percentage?
No, you lose everything.
Can you go back to your body and get them?
So you can you have the opportunity, because you go back to a bonfire. You go back to a bonfire, which is at a certain place in the world. There are these bonfires all around. And so if you make it back to where you died and where you left your body, or your blood stain is really what it is, you can collect those souls.
Was funny. Oh,
And Brett wins.
that was terrible. I won. No, you won.
How
You
did I
both
win?
won. I got a bronze medal. Look at me. Hey, I dealt the most damage to enemies. Look at that. I
Look at
am
you.
sexy.
I had the most friendly worms killed and most enemy worms killed.
I had the most enemy worms drowned. That's solid. I can dig that.
But
That's
if
my
you don't
style.
get back to where you died before you are killed again, then you lose everything.
Wow.
I mean, you keep your weapons and your armor and your levels, but you lose all the souls.
Interesting.
There was a point where I have lost 200,000 souls. And
Holy
I
crap.
and it's a lot, but at the
What's a
level I'm
small
at,
country?
it's like two or three levels. You know what I mean?
Genovia.
Because
Can
it
we pause
increases
this by chance?
significantly.
Yes, we can.
And
Not the podcast, the
so,
game.
no,
Yeah,
no.
I paused the game.
Oh, okay.
No, you didn't.
You,
Nope, my
oh my
timer's still
God.
going down.
What the heck?
That's
Apparently
okay.
not.
That's all right. Life goes on.
God, you're so mean. Right, let's cruise through this.
And so, like, yeah, there's just lots of things. And so, what the way that I like to play is, what I'll do is I'll pick a particular weapon that I want. Like, normally I play a combination of, I usually do just enough strength and dexterity to get what's called the Dark Sword, which is the sword that you can pick up from these particular enemies called, what are they called? Dark.
Anyway, it's a cool sword. Are you still there? Did we lose Russ?
Yeah.
I think
Still
we
here.
lost Russ. No, I think we lost Russ.
Why?
I don't know. Can you hear him? I can't hear him.
I can't hear him.
Yeah, I think we lost him.
My controller died.
Well, way to go. All right, I need to run
Yeah, so I
outside
don't know
real
what you
quick.
guys heard and what you didn't.
I didn't hear anything. Do me a favor. Wait one moment to continue that story. Intermission.
Welcome to the most boring podcast you'll ever listen to in your life. Intermission. 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 Man, I wanted to get into my game. Let me get through this. Jeez.
I'm sorry.
God,
Greg.
Stop being so excited. God. No, you're fine. I'm just giving you crap.
It's just such an interesting game.
I'm excited. I just don't want to know too much, like, honestly, because I'm really excited to go, like, the fact that I'm going against Super Blind, you know?
Yeah. And that's fun. Like, I'm excited for that because just, oh, man, it's going to be great.
Yeah, he told me, he's like, we're going to be there, but we're not going to tell you anything, and we're just going to sit back and laugh and watch you try to figure things out yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm all for that. That's cool.
Yeah, because it's going to be, bringing new people into Dark Souls is one of the greatest things in the entire world because of the difficulty spike. Like, it's not too hard to figure out. I mean, you know, you have, like, block and shoot, you know, but the difficulty spike.
Okay.
Is intense, mm-hmm. And it will make you go, what
did I get into? Why am I here? That's awesome. Yeah, I'm really excited. Well, just bringing people into any game or anything you're very passionate about is just super fun.
Yes. Like one of my favorite things that I used to do was go and watch people's blind playthrough of Dark Souls, the first one,
mm-hmm.
because it spikes in difficulty very quickly and very suddenly. And you're like, what the hell just happened? Like in the first one, because it won't spoil anything for Dark Souls 3. So you're going to go through this very, I guess you could call it a tutorial. It's like, okay, do this, and this is how you block, and this is how you swing, and okay, here are some relatively weak enemies for you to run up against and try and defeat. And then all of a sudden, like, you walk into, it's like the second room, you walk into this huge courtyard, and this big fatty demon drops out of the sky. And you're like, what? And like, you have no weapons at this point. You have no shield. You don't even have any clothing on. Hardly.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh my gosh. And so it's like, so most people, they try and fight it. But then, like, eventually you discover there's this door off to the side that you run through to get away from this insane thing that has just dropped on top of your head. And so you do that, and then you go up, you fight some more. I mean, like, the enemies are a little bit harder, but not much, because most of the time you're fighting, like, these crawling undead things.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of wind your way up around what's called the Asylum. And you get to the top of it, and then you go through, because Dark Souls, the famous thing is fog doors, right? It's an indication of
no
bosses
idea.
Are on the other side. And so you come to this fog door and you walk through it and you're on this balcony overlooking this demon that is,
whoa.
I mean, it's huge. It's like 10 times taller than you are. It's got this massive hammer. It's insane. And you just acquired your weapons. And the bosses in Dark Souls are very difficult, but very fun.
Cool.
And so
I'm excited.
Like, so you find out, like, through playing that you can plunge attack, so you walk off and you kind of stab the demon and it takes, like, a quarter of its health. But then you have to take, like, three quarters of this demon down with these puny weapons. You haven't been able to level up yet. And so you're still level zero with very weak weapons. But yeah. And so it's just, that's the fun part about Dark Souls. In my opinion.
I dig it. You Luthien should just start, like, a Dark Souls podcast. And just
Maybe we will.
The two of you together could probably just geek about it forever. It'd be super fun.
What are the weapon types?
Well, I mean, in Dark Souls, they have pretty much every type of weapon that you could ever think of. Halberds, swords, axes, daggers, scimitars, anything and everything. I mean, big to the point to where, like, you need 50 strength to wield them, like these huge great swords that you swing and smash people with. And there's
is there magic?
There's sides. Yeah, there's magic.
Yeah, is magic like a weapon type? Like, do you have to like equip a staff or a rod or a wand or anything?
Yeah, so you have to equip a staff, and you have to have so much intelligence to be able to use certain spells. And like in
okay.
Dark Souls 3, you have like the Faerun dart, which is kind of like throwing a dagger, and that's really annoying sometimes. And then you have a soul arrow, which is, you know, it takes longer to cast, but it does a decent amount of damage with that. And then you're getting, you know, soul spear, and then there are other things like you can turn yourself invisible, or you can cast a chameleon spell to make yourself look like part of the terrain, or you can cast light on yourself, which is sometimes super important and super in different places, especially in Dark Souls 1. Because there's this area that's entirely pitch black, and you have to carry around the lantern, which is really dangerous because you either have to sacrifice your weapon or your shield. Most people go with shield. And so, yeah, they're just different things.
Sorry, I will be periodically muting myself with baby waking up. Sorry.
You're a periodically mute.
Okay, so I love you, but we should probably move on from Dark Souls for now.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
We're gonna talk about light spirits.
So the game that I've been playing. Yes, we're still on the first section.
They don't know if there's a section or not, you dingus.
Yep, bungus.
Well, I would have said which sections we're on, people. Jeez. Our listeners are smart-ish, maybe. I mean, they're listening to us, so maybe not. But so, when I'm not in Destiny, lately, I've been playing Assassin's Creed Origins.
Oh, yeah.
Game of the year, baby. Game of the year.
That I really didn't want to play. Quite...
No, definitely. If you haven't played it or looked into it, because, you know, maybe Assassin's Creed has left you bad taste in your mouth for a few years, this is the one to get back into for sure.
I raised my hand with that. I actually put that on the very, very top of my birthday list because my birthday is the 17th of December, my friends. The 17th of December.
December?
Decumber. And I put Assassin's Creed Origins at the top of the list. Other items on the list are an LED fog light retrofit kit for my Crosstrack and Super Mario Odyssey for my Switch.
Ooh,
but anyway, Super Mario, it's a Super Mario game. They're all good. Like,
yeah,
I don't care what people
wrong.
Say.
You're not wrong. But, okay, so Assassin's Creed.
Let's let it finish.
For one, no, totally fine. Like this is us talking all the time. We went on tangent after tangent last podcast. It's all good. But oh my goodness!
Wow.
Like
that's funny. Actually,
like I actually really enjoyed Unity a lot. What was the last one they had before they took a break? The one that took place in like England or whatever. That did not look interesting to me at Syndicate, yeah. So that didn't look interesting to me at all, even after playing Unity and loving it. So I skipped that one and took a break. And then heard about Origins, and I was like, you know, oh, well, I don't know. Assassin's Creed 47. I'm not sure if I want to get into this, but the more I looked into it, and then it being, Egypt, and me and Nick just have a thing for like properly done deserts in gaming. Is like some of the coolest landscaping and super fun to go through. But so it looked super interesting, and I liked the story concept of it. It's the beginning of the Assassin's Order. You're basically starting everything. There's no premise. And but then I was reading that they completely changed the combat system, and this is not popular opinion, but last time I heard those words was Assassin's Creed 3, which is the one with Whiny McWinewine
That's the Native
Pants.
American assassin.
Yeah, that was like super not easy to like. I did not like him as a character at all. But so that game I did not like.
I thought this.
Go
Sorry.
ahead. No, seriously,
I was
just
gonna
go
say,
ahead.
I thought the story. I made it through like halfway with that game, and then life got so. Like back then, I worked in retail, so October 1st hits, and all of a sudden, I'm putting in like 50, 60 hours a week and
Yep.
getting, bungus for overtime pay. But I got halfway through that game, and then like Christmas time started, and I'm like, shit, I'm not gonna get to finish it. And I didn't get to finish it, but I loved the storyline in that game.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the storyline too.
And the
Yeah.
assassin, like, what's his name's armor, or not armor, but his like outfit was the coolest assassin outfit in the history of Assassin's Creed.
Until Origins. I'm sorry. He looks amazing.
Nah, I mean,
No.
okay, he does have like some nips, so
Yeah, and they're
he's
solid nips.
channeling his inner
But
Abercrombie.
well, they have a real like there's so many outfits you can collect in the game that look fantastic too. Accessorize, but anyway, but yeah, so I really enjoyed the story in Assassin's Creed 3, but I had to stop because I hated the combat system. I could not
Yeah,
get
the
used to it.
combat.
I did not enjoy it in any way, shape, or form. And that was coming, and it was a big change from, previously it was literally just let a group of guards encircle you, wait for someone to swing their sword and press square to parry and then profit. Like, it really wasn't that engaging, but you felt awesome because you could take on like 30 guards at once and just chain combo them down,
Well, it punished
But
Assassin's Creed 3, I felt like it punished you
for existing.
for, well, not necessarily for existing, but for not being able to stealth your way entirely. And so, like,
That's true.
I mean, I got used to that. So I was like, I'll just stealth kill these people because there's no way that I'm going to be able to kill these 50 guys with just myself because the combat is terrible. Well, that didn't work like I wanted it to.
And I guess I'm the cheese stands alone. I loved the combat in Assassin's Creed 3. I thought it was more engaging than previous games. Or in previous games, I literally held the like block button
Yeah.
and just counterattacked everything, and that was it.
Well,
Like I got through the game doing that. And Assassin's Creed 3, for me, that was the first game I didn't have to do that.
right. I liked because to me, in the first Assassin's Creed and like the second one, it made sense that he was countering because he was an assassin. So it made more sense to me that he was waiting for his moment to strike, and that he knew where to hit the person once he did strike, that would pretty much kill him right off the bat. That combat system that they had in like the first and the second one, even though you could like choose your way through the entire thing, I felt like it made more sense. Like the third one, it had some really cool, like the fluidity of the movement and stuff like that was very interesting. And I think that made up for a lot of the qualms that I had with it. But you get in big groups and it was impossible to face them. I had to run away pretty much every time. I felt like Black Flag improved it a little bit.
I never played Black Flag. I only ever played the flagship Assassin's Creed titles. My only experience is Assassin's Creed, then Assassin's Creed 2, and then 3. And I loved Ezio. Ezio was such a great character. But part of me thinks they should have made, and I know it goes against their whole, annual release schedule for Assassin's Creed, but it's like I personally think that the Ezio trilogy should have been one massive game. But
That's
I mean that's not the world we live in, so it's a pipe dream.
no,
But
but yeah, you're right. I think Ezio has been my favorite character so far. Although I am really interested in whoever the newest one is. I've played
Bayek?
all the Assassin's Creed.
Is
Bayek?
his name
There's no
Bayek,
such.
Brett? Brett? Oh,
I
you're
think he's
dead.
been muted.
He might be dead.
I think he had to mute.
He could be dead. Admit it.
But anyway, I do like, and I'm really looking forward to playing it also because I've heard it's combat likened to Dark Souls, and we've already established that I'm a super big Dark Souls fan. So I'm excited to play around with that and see what changes have been made. The slide looks a little too, like from what I've seen in the combat, the slide looks too smooth, if that makes any
Slide? What do you
sense.
mean, slide?
So like there's this, because I've watched lots of gameplay videos, and there's this kind of slide that he does to like get around people, kind of like, well, you haven't played Dark Souls, but in Dark Souls you circle the person that you're fighting, and so you're like, that's a lot of it. You circle, you try to get in behind them or
Okay,
hit their
so it's
weak
basically
spot.
like a maneuver to get in and flank him.
Right. And so that's what it is in Assassin's Creed, and it looks too smooth. Like he takes like this sidestep, like he's doing the electric slide, and he goes like 6 feet, and it's like that looks weird. It doesn't look natural.
Interesting. Yeah, I've looked up absolutely nothing about the game. I'm going in as absolutely blind as I possibly can. I know I was at work the other day and Brett streamed gameplay for me. But that's all I've seen. That's literally it.
I've been watching a lot of it just because I'm a big Assassin's Creed fan from way back. Like I got the first one when it first came out. I fell in love with the premise. I've played all of them. I haven't finished all of them because some of them just didn't hold my interest like I would have hoped they would have.
Right.
But I've at least, at the very least, played all of them. Aside from Assassin's Creed, oh, there was another one in between Assassin's Creed Origins and Syndicate that took place with, it was, you played as a Templar instead of an assassin, oddly enough.
I heard about that. I don't know what it was called.
I can't for the life of me remember what it was called. But I never heard a lot about it, so I don't know if it was actually even any good. It was supposed to be kind of like in the same vein of Black Flag.
Okay.
Um,
Okay, I'm back.
but other
Welcome
than that
back.
one,
I
I've at least
apologize.
played all of them. And I'm excited about this one. I'm excited about what I've heard about it and the changes that have occurred. Really interesting.
The Egyptian aspect, like ancient Egypt. I'm a sucker for ancient mythologies. Like I really am. Like, oh, I love ancient mythologies. The Percy Jackson book series. I devoured that stuff because it talked about, ancient Egypt. Not ancient, Jesus. Ancient Greece and Grecian mythology. And then they bring in Roman mythology later, which, just like piqued my interest like you wouldn't believe. But Egypt is my jam.
Well,
And
they
I
did
am
really.
such a good job bringing it to life. And it's not like there's the crazy thing with Egypt is there's like the time period that it takes place, which is like Cleopatra, all that kind of jazz. Like
Right. Yeah. There's
there's
when
the
Egypt,
even
like it's not even ancient, like ancient Egypt as we think of it, is ancient Egypt to the people that existed in the time period the game takes place in.
Exactly, and they discuss, and that comes up a lot during the game. Like there's just huge parts of the world that exist that, like, the people that live there generations later are studying to find out what the hell that's doing in their backyard, you know?
Right. Yeah, like you mentioned, it's set during the time period of like Cleopatra and Alexander the Great. Like the capital of Egypt is Alexandria.
And it's in the game, and it's breathtaking to walk through. I actually had, and I know I've told you this story, but like it was to the point where I had Thanksgiving was this last week, you know. And
Was.
yeah. Oh, that's right, you guys live in Uzbekistan and you don't celebrate.
I live in Kazakhstan,
Oh, right, sorry.
actually.
I get the stands mixed up. Oh. Anyway, so they're over here and they're actually like studying that time period in school. And so, like, one, they enjoy watching me play games because, like, their dad is one of those guys that's like, I'm playing Angry Birds and this kind of stuff, which, I'm nothing against that. But so they like coming to watch me play games because I'm like shooting things and ripping throats out and it's very violent and they love it because they're amazing. But so they got into it for that, and then once I started, discussing like where it took place and like showing things, they were geeking out alongside me and wanting to see, like, naming off things. Is this in the game? And I'd like look it up and go, oh my goodness, it is, and jump on my camel and ride through the desert and find this actual place they put in game. And it was really, really cool to see. Like, you go to the Sphinx. And like even you're like you get there and your character talks about how he's never been there, and then when you show up, he like makes a comment. He's like, I thought it'd be bigger, you know?
Ah, that's funny.
It
Well,
was
I mean,
pretty
to be
funny.
fair, the Sphinx having a human head—that's not the original. The original had an animal head, and some pharaoh down the line carved it into what it is. So him saying he thought it would be bigger—that's why the head is so proportionately tiny to the body.
Because it's the wrong head.
I didn't know that.
And then, I mean, just, the big thing with Assassin's Creed is climbing buildings, So the sheer fact of, like, I'm climbing a pyramid right now.
Dude, what? How high? So I mentioned Brett when you were away. I mentioned that you live streamed some of Ordens for me, so I could see like the aesthetic and I could see the gameplay a little bit. Otherwise, I'm going in blind. Like I have no clue what anything else in the game is about. You were climbing one of the pyramids, and it was showing the height in meters. And I decided, oh well, what the hell? Google's right in front of me. I'm at work. Let's look up, the conversion and see how high you're going in, imperial feet. And damn.
Right? Yeah, that was huge. Well, and then there's a bunch of just exploration, like hidden tunnels you could on the outside of the pyramid to get you inside. And so you're actually like, you're not just climbing outside a pyramid, you're like exploring deep with inside and finding tombs and lost treasure. And like there's puzzle sequences inside pyramids. Oh, so good.
Well,
So
and
good.
one of the things that I like about the story is it's more of a mystery, because there's this thing of, something happened to his family. There's some kind of revenge thing that's going on, but in all the others, they were very upfront about, okay, these are the guys that you're after, and these are all of them. At the super beginning, there's no mystery to it.
Yeah, it
It's
was
just
very
like,
much like opening
here it
credits, here are
is.
all the characters you're ever gonna know the rest of the game.
Right.
And this one, like, oh my, I don't want, I'm probably like, I'm easily 40, 50 hours deep into Assassin's Creed Origins. And like, I mean, just the other night I was playing and I got hit with like a major plot twist that was like a memory sequence from like before, like right before I started playing as the character you play as. And I was like, wait a second, what? Because like you go into this area and like the people there know you already, and like the people, the villagers, and like the leader of the area and whatnot, like reacts to you based on what your character did before you're able even to play them. And it was just like, wait a second. And so that whole sequence, you're exploring more of your character's background. And the biggest part is Bayek. That's his name. Is probably like the most interesting assassin, or the most, well, he's not an assassin yet, I guess, well, technically, but the most interesting character that's been in an Assassin's Creed game. And it could just be the whole, like, I'm a dad too thing, you know, but he's very real. You know, Ezio was a really well-written character, and it was a lot of fun to play, you know, but it was very much, you know, a written character that was voice acted and had lines and blah, 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 blah. Bayek just, like, he just feels real. Scenes happen where he's, you know, communicating with people, or the story is being driven forward with him involved, and you don't feel like you're playing a video game. Like, this is either real and you're like in the Animus watching it happen, or it's a really good movie. You don't feel like you're in a game. It's just, and for one, the technology, the facial animations are amazing. Like, how the voice actor, I have to look up who the voice actor is, because he did a phenomenal job. Because he delivers his lines so realistically, with so much emotion for whatever that scene needs, and then the facial animations match perfectly with it. He's very, very interesting character. Probably the most interesting character I've played in a game in, I mean, I would almost say ever. Like, honestly. Wow. Yeah. Very, very in-depth, detailed, interesting character. Surrounded by other very well-written, in-depth... Cleopatra is crazy. I just want to say that. Like, you meet Cleopatra. I've met Cleopatra twice. She's crazy. It's just fascinating to just... Games don't do camels right, okay? And this game does. Who doesn't want to ride a camel? And so many games ruin it. And it's so perfect. I can tell how many times I'm like, there's a bunch of sand dunes. I'm just going to jump on my camel and ride gloriously into the sunset.
I've heard that the animals are really cool.
Very cool.
The crocodiles are a pain in the butt, though.
No, actually, the hippos are what gives me problems.
Oh, hippos are so mean.
They are. I did not know that until this. The hippos are mean. Nick brought up during one of my... I was live streaming one time, and he brought up that, like, the clouds in the sky, it's not a skybox that's been previously rendered. Like... The clouds themselves are their own thing and change throughout the day or night.
Not even previously rendered, but like live rendered.
Yeah.
Like the clouds were physically present in the space.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, so it wasn't just like a skybox that's painted and not moving, or like he said, previously rendered this or that. Like, it's almost like a live engine of the sky. Yeah. Like the day-night cycle flows flawlessly. Sometimes there's weather effects and fog and sandstorms around. Oh my god, sandstorms are so good. There's been a few times they're scripted, but when it just happens randomly in the world, I was attacking this like security outpost, and Bayek was actually like, you know, it's basically like, "Ooh, I feel it in my bones, Annie, a storm's coming." But he's like, "Oh, the winds are changing. Oh, sandstorm is probably approaching." And I was like, "Oh, whatever, you know." And like, as I was scaling the wall, the sandstorm hit out of nowhere, and I couldn't see like inches in front of my character. And so you're like sneaking through, and you'd come across a guard that's looking at you, but he can't see you, even though you're 2 inches in front of him. You just like reactionary kill him, but... trying to sneak around and kill people during a sandstorm is frightening and amazing at the same time. But yeah, Assassin's Creed Origins Game of the Year. It's amazing. You should play it. If you don't own it, buy it. If you can't buy it, rent it. If you can't rent it, steal it. If you can't steal it, there's just no hope for you.
Are you encouraging people to steal on your stream?
For this, yes. Definitely, yes.
You need to put a penny on the old man's hat.
All right. I'm going to push the generator again. Let's see what we get next. Drum roll, please. I didn't hear a drum roll, but I'm going to pretend.
That was your drum roll.
That was beautiful. All right. I know I said I wanted to keep a shorter stream, but this is not happening now.
Oh, shut up, you wee bitch.
So, no. Star Wars is what we're talking about next.
Yes.
What do you mean, gosh. Star Wars?
So I don't know if you know, there's a movie coming out, like, in a couple weeks.
Okay. I thought you were going to tell me we were talking about the whole, like, Battlefront situation, and I'm like,
no.
I have nothing to say about that.
No, we covered that. About, we like, covered that in depth last week. Don't worry about it.
Like, basically, EA are idiots,
yeah,
and
no,
if they fuck up Anthem, then I'm literally going to cut them.
That's another conversation.
Super passionate about this topic.
Oh, yeah, that's been talked to death. We're going to leave that alone. Yeah. So there's a new Star Wars movie, positive Star Wars stuff, because EA's not involved.
The First Sith?
Close.
Very close. I think Luke was taking a nap and he's awakening, something like that. I don't know.
The Last Yeti.
The Last Jedi. Oh my
I'm
god,
very
I
excited about the movie.
I'm beyond excited. It looks... The trailers have been...
Yeah.
It's gotten to a point, though, where like all the newer Star Wars like have the same trailer, and that's been kind of bothering me, but it looks really good.
Well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, it's the style now, you know, that
oh, I know.
Fading out, the intense moments.
I almost feel like you could put like Force Awakens, Rogue One, and then the Last Jedi's trailer on top of each other, and it would time out the exact same to the same music. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, in a lot, like if you want to do like you should pay a visit to like the movies subreddit.
That's
thing.
Smart.
Like movie trailers these days are very formulaic.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them use the same. Like, what's the word I'm thinking? I don't even know the word I'm thinking. Because I don't even know my own head. Because I am a cheeseburger. No.
I was going to go with orangutan.
My yummy cheeseburger.
Orangutan.
Yeah.
But so, oh man. I should have had some more bullet points for the movie, but what do you think is going to happen?
Well, hopefully we'll find out who Rey's parents are.
Pretty sure it's Chewbacca.
I would like to see more of the Knights of Ren. Just because...
Everyone would.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, they seem very interesting, but we haven't heard about anybody else associated with that.
We're going to see it. I have a theory that you know, when Rey like tried to pick up the lightsaber in Maz's temple.
Oh, and she had her crazy
bar, whatever
dream thing.
She had that crazy vision. I don't think that was a vision of the past. I think that was a vision of the future.
But everything else that she saw was in the past.
Correct, but that whole bit with the Knights of Ren, where they're like shooting, like I think that was in the future. I think that was stuff that's coming. That's like it's coming.
I mean, it could be. I think it was them destroying, because to me, what happened there was here are the Knights of Ren. They destroyed the temple that Luke had built because it. It doesn't seem to me, when they were talking, they were like, you know, we sent Kylo to train with Luke, but was Kylo the only Ben, I guess, was he the only, spoilers, was he the only person that was training with Luke?
No. You know, it shows that in the I guess, the dream sequence where it shows, you know, when Luke has got his little robot hand on R2 in the rain, you know? During that whole sequence, he's surrounded
in the trailer,
by people, you know.
In the trailer for The Last Jedi, It's like we're seeing that whole sequence again from Ray's vision, but it's bigger. There's more
Yeah.
to it. And so I'm like, oh, there's more to it. Okay, so perhaps we're actually going to see it live. What
Ooh, that'd be
if,
sweet.
like, what if?
Oh, I'm sure we will. I'm sure there's some kind of flashback of like,
See,
this is what happened.
if they do like a flashback of a vision, like, I'm not gonna be happy. I'll be like, can I speak to your manager, please? Okay, I'm at this point, I'm just gonna try new weapons because I don't even.
Right, I hear
In case you're wondering, I'm losing grievously. Oh yeah, that was beautiful.
a
I'm
water
a drown
bottle.
myself. That's
Go,
cute.
go, go. No.
Yes.
Dang. Anyway, your next thought there.
What?
Yes,
What did I
yeah.
say?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to you because I don't listen to you.
Well, no, if they like, so we saw the vision, and now that we have Luke in The Last Jedi, if we see like the full sequence of events that happened, and it's like, oh, well, we saw a precursor to the flashback, and now we're getting the flashback. To me, that's cheap storytelling.
Yeah, for sure.
So if we end up seeing, and there is a see, wow, this is the first time I don't have anything on the overall stats. I'll be a monkey's left nipple.
But
That's
not the only
solid.
one.
So here's the thing. In one of the more recent trailers, we see an image of Rey with her lightsaber in the rain in the same setting that we saw the Knights of Ren in the rain in her vision. So, the bit with like the fire and Luke and R2 by the fire, sure, that happened in the past. I accept that, whatever. I'm open to that. But the bit in the rain with the Knights of Ren striking people down and Rey, and whether or not like we actually get to see that event is a flashback, like I don't think that's going to be the case. I think we're going to see it either happening live or we're going to have another event that mirrors what had happened in the past.
Oh, interesting.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that seems more likely to me.
History repeating itself.
Well, and personally, I think that Rey's parents are Han and Leia, and that Ben is her brother.
I don't
Me,
know. I don't think so.
personally, I don't think if she isn't a Kenobi or a Palpatine, I don't think she's related to any canon or like primary characters.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's the reason that I think that she's Han and Leia's. There was something that happened that caused a schism in the family. More
Which
than
color is Russ now? It
Ben
keeps
turning
changing
to
it.
the dark
Purple.
side.
Okay, cool.
Because Ben turned to the dark side for a reason. Han left for a reason, not just because Ben turned to the dark side. There was some kind of schism that happened that forced everybody in separate directions.
Right.
And I think it was that the Millennium Falcon got taken and their baby was on board. And they don't know that Rey is their child. Because Rey doesn't
But
know who her parents are.
yeah, but
And
she literally gets dropped off and then they fly away
but she's
in a
with the
ship.
Millennium Falcon. Yeah. So whoever had stolen the Millennium Falcon, they lost it then to the Junker, and
Oh no.
they just left Rey there on the planet.
It's possible. Personally, I think like episode 7 was titled The Force Awakens. And we have in the newest, one of the more recent trailers, we have Snoke saying that the Force has awakened, the light rises to, or the dark rises to meet it, and as this light, or something like that. And Me personally, I feel almost like Ray is just some random person that has been like the Force realizes that that balance that was set in was now thrown off, and the Force itself is like, okay, we're going to intervene directly, and poof, Rey is born. And that's why Rey is kind of in this whole like, well, what is she? Is she dark? Is she light? By the way, episode 7 was the first time we ever heard the term light side.
Correct.
There was dark side, and then there was the Jedi.
Jedi.
And in episode 7, it was the dark side, the Jedi, and the light side.
That's true.
So per like personally, I feel like Rey is not dark or light. Rey is the Force. The Force woke up and it's using Rey.
And that kind of goes hand in hand with something, because I've had this thought for a while that, like, because everyone was all talking, and Anakin is the chosen one, and he will bring balance to the Force. Like, I think they just got their generations wrong, and that, yeah, Rey is the, there was no father. I carried her. I gave birth to her. You know, like, she is actually, like, the foretold chosen one that's going to bring balance to the Force, and they just totally got it wrong. And by getting it wrong, caused the entire issue that is Star Wars, you know.
Well,
Well,
right,
Anakin, he did
because
bring balance to the
she is
Force.
the Force itself bringing balance to itself.
Exactly.
Like
Instead of just.
part of the whole this whole premise of like, okay, there's no more Sith. The Sith are gone. There's Snoke and the Knights of Ren and Kylo,
And
but the
who.
quote-unquote Sith are gone. The Jedi are still around. So it's like, okay, if we're going to bring balance, these two sides that have dogmatic religious views that ignore any alternative view than their own, they have to go. You can't have balance with people like that. So the last Jedi, like Luke says it in one of the trailers, the Jedi need to die. I think he's right. Yoda, in one of the books, the Revenge of the Sith novelization, when Yoda is fighting Emperor Palpatine, he comes to the realization that the Jedi haven't changed or evolved or improved in the, 900 years he's been the Grand Master of the Order.
Yeah.
And that's his fault. That's his fault. What happened to the Jedi, what happened to the Republic, it's his fault. Because he never let the Jedi improve or change. The Sith, conversely, never improved or changed. So we have these two representations, these two snapshots of existence that continue to perpetuate. That was a good hit.
Thank you.
They continue to like perpetuate and what's the term? Curate the con the public's concept of the quote-unquote Force. And so that's why I think like the title of episode 7, The Force Awakens, is so much more important than people realize it is, because I think it's literally the Force going, whoa, hold on, kids. Hold the phone. None of this Sith, none of this Jedi, none of this dark, none of this light. It's the Force.
And I mean that goes in line with a storyline that was in the books that aren't canon anymore. But so what happened was is it was during the Yuuzhan Vong, and there's this thing called the Living Force, which was neither there is no dark or light side to the Force. It's the Living Force, and I believe it was Jason, who is the son. He's one of the twins of Han
Yeah,
and Leia.
Jason Solo.
Yeah, he becomes this embodiment of the Living
Oh,
Force.
shit.
But I don't know.
Hey,
I
that
no. How all of you guys at Full House are.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was like really.
crap.
Okay, for those of you that can't see this. Oh, I just, okay, one of Brett's people was above me. And I go to shoot a bazooka at him, and I don't have the aim quite accurate, so I shoot way too high, and the missile just kind of goes way up, and then starts to drop, and it drops far to the left, and it totally annihilates one of Brett's people and one of Ross's people.
The luckiest.
Okay, I'm done. Sorry. It's just really funny. I've come in last place every match until now, so
somehow all of you guys are at full health still. Because you keep whispering us to kill each other. So, okay.
Sorry. Qui-Gon subscribed to the concept of the living force. He didn't see the force as light or dark. He saw just the force.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's all around us. Okay, that was
quite killed my guy too.
So who?
Oh
speaking,
no!
Speaking of, like, you know, Rey not actually being related to anyone that exists or anything, who on earth is Snoke? Is he someone you've met before? Because he just suddenly there's just this other guy that can teach people how to use the dark side of the Force. Like,
whoa!
Is he someone from the
past? I thought that was a ledge.
Nope. Is he someone from the past that, like, survived somewhere, or is it literally just, we have this other character that was hiding the whole time and knows how to teach people the ways of the Sith and blah, 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 blah?
There is?
He is not anybody that we have encountered in the Star Wars universe. They have come out and they have said that. Now, I'm sure he relates somehow
I'm still uncertain how I feel about that.
There's a book series. It's a three-part book series that talks about the fall of the Empire. It's basically like you're in Emperor Palpatine's head going into Return of the Jedi, like when they order the construction of the second Death Star. And it talks about the Battle of Jakku, specifically. And one of the primaries, because you know there's that wrecked Death Star on Jakku. One of the primary things it talks about is what the Emperor's motivations were for.
You mean a Star
Destroyer? Oh, that was beautiful. Did I say Death Star? Yeah, Star Destroyer, yes. Totally. There's just a wrecked Death Star on Jakku. Don't worry about it.
Just don't worry about it. It's all good.
Just, you know, sticks out on a planetary level. It talks about the end of the Empire and the Emperor's orders and instructions to his governors, because he foresaw his own death. He knew that was happening. He knew a Skywalker was going to kill him. He assumed it was Luke. He didn't assume it was Anakin. But he foresaw his own death, so, like, going into that whole sequence, when he's, like, baiting Luke to kill him, he thought he was bringing to pass the events he had foreseen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, totally wasn't. But it talks about the fact that leading up to, you know, his fall, he had set in motion all of these events behind the scenes to continue the Empire, quote unquote. He founded the First Order, knowing what was going to happen and ensuring that some portion of the quote unquote true loyalists to the Empire still remained. Like, he founded that and he sent them out of the galaxy, because all of Star Wars takes place within one galaxy. They never go outside of it. And it talks about, like, when you're in Emperor Palpatine's head, it talks about the fact that he is, his entire life, he's been fixated and fascinated by the dark side of the Force and the Sith. more accurately the dark side of the Force, not the Sith specifically. The Sith exist in that galaxy. The dark side of the Force, you know, if you look at it on a universal level, has to exist outside of the Sith.
Within that galaxy. They originated outside of the galaxy.
I thought the Sith existed. I thought that came from a specific planet in the galaxy.
It wasn't in the galaxy. It's like on the... Well, it may be in the galaxy. It's in the Outer Rim. It's way far away from everything. But they originated on Corvan. They were actually a race of people.
Right. The Sith were a specific race, yeah. They were, whether they were, like, physically in the galaxy or within reach of the galaxy, it was a very localized dogma. Emperor Palpatine was more interested in the cosmic entity of the Force and the dark nature of it, and he ended up hearing this call, this thing pulling him, like calling from way outside the galaxy, way the fuck, pardon my language, outside the galaxy. He sent people out to find this thing that was calling to him, and he didn't live to see what it was. Large speculation, like a huge piece of speculation in the community, is that the thing that was calling to him was Snoke.
That would make sense.
Because Snoke, like, again, the Sith don't exist with Snoke. He has no interest in the concept of the Sith and anything that came before in the galaxy that Star Wars takes place in. Like, he's got Kylo and he's got the Knights of Ren that follow Kylo.
But they're not associated with the
Sith. He talks about the dark side and the light side and the Force awakening. There's been an awakening. You felt it, you know. And then it's his voice that we hear in the Last Jedi trailer that says something about the dark side is away, or the Force is awakening, and the dark side rises and the light side rises to meet it. And it's like, whoa, this is the first character we're really hearing talk about dark versus light. Now, if he's like this primal entity of the dark side, or rephrase, if he's this primary entity of the Force that attributes himself to the dark side, makes sense that he would be the one to introduce the concept of the light side rather than some pseudo-religious dogmatic Sith and Jedi. We have, you know, primordial dark and light.
Well, and who's to say that the Jedi were even ever associated with the light side, because they never, because the dark side is based upon negative emotions, right?
Right. Negative emotion and focusing on the self.
Right. And so then the Jedi they never associated positive emotions. You know what I mean? Like, they mostly believed in negating all emotion and trying to incorporate the selfless nature, but I don't believe you can be selfless without positive emotion, personally.
Like, I honestly see, like, Jedi as lawful good and Sith as chaotic evil, but the Force itself is, like, chaotic neutral.
I'd say chaotic good.
Really?
Personally, my idea of the Force, I like that dichotomy of there is a positive nature and a negative nature to the Force. There's something that speaks to me about that. I like that. Or maybe that the Force isn't necessarily has a positive and a negative side, but that the way people use it is positive and negative. I don't know. But
that's why I like chaotic neutral, because I'm like, it's this primordial Force, not to sound cheesy, you know, that exists, and it's purely dependent on how people tap into it and how they use it.
Well,
I see where you're coming from.
The, the Metachlorians, hopefully they can go back and say, okay, this is an interesting take on what the Force is, even if they don't go into specifics, but even that it's just some kind of primal force that, you know, does a thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to see how they interpret it, and please don't ever mention Metachlorians again.
Like, my Metachlorians, they didn't bug me too much. I mean, I guess it answers the question as far as, like, okay, well, how come everyone can't use the Force? Like, it answers that question, because it's like, oh, well, there are some people that are born with these things in them that allow them to connect to the Force.
It tried too hard to explain something that is better off left as... Because,
right.
Because, and here we're getting into writing principles of you have hard fantasy and you have soft fantasy. And what that is hard fantasy is these things have rules, right? You have a magic system that has rules and laws and is guided by those. A soft fantasy is kind of an ephemeral, I can't say that word, but...
Ephemeral.
Thank you. Ephemeral force about it. It just happens. It's a thing. And
right.
The way that the Force was set up in the original trilogy...
It was very soft.
Soft.
Right. It was very George Lucas, like, I love the prequel trilogy for the story it tells. If you look past this ridiculous screen, and Brett's heard me rage about this a thousand times, this ridiculous screen of George Lucas's inability to write dialogue in a normal, like, natural fashion. He has this, like, fixation on sounding Shakespearean, and it does not translate well. And then you're right, like, this hard versus soft fantasy, like, he was, because of the writing style he took, and this, for some odd reason, desire to have the prequel trilogy explain everything. Ugh. Like, Rogue One was a great example of how you can have a prequel that explains everything without going out of its way to do so.
Right.
It just and naturally it explained everything.
Yes.
Right.
And I agree. I think you tried too hard to make it into a hard fantasy instead of a soft fantasy, and that's a lot of where you went wrong. And
right.
Hayden Christensen.
He played, I will say this, he played the part as the director asked him to. He's got great acting capabilities.
That, and I've seen him do
that is,
a lot of
that is things. George Lucas's fault, 110%.
And, you know, watching The Force Awakens, Kylo Ren is the Anakin Skywalker that I wanted. Because he was conflicted, but he wasn't emo. He was angry. It was you felt this, you know, because when you saw him, it was like, oh, man, you know, there was this fear that was associated with it that was never associated with Anakin. You look
right.
at him,
well,
this unpredictability is very, you feel it. Whereas with Anakin, he felt whiny and emo.
Well, and I think, in all honesty, like, I think he was supposed to, though. Because with Anakin, the key difference between Anakin and Ben is that with Anakin, he was a cocky bitch.
Yeah.
Like, he took what Qui-Gon put in his head about the quote-unquote chosen one to heart and let that dominate his existence. And then on the flip side, you have Chancellor Palpatine also feeding into that, taking that character flaw and just spraying Miracle-Grow on it every chance he possibly could. Chancellor Palpatine literally exacerbated every single negative attribute that Anakin Skywalker had to try and pull him towards him. So I honestly, like, as much as I want to hate it because the performance is lackluster and the dialogue is just abysmal, like, that bit of it makes Anakin Skywalker the broken and ridiculously stupid excuse of a human being that he needs to be to turn into someone like Darth Vader. That just, I've lost everything. I don't give a shit anymore. I don't even sound like myself. So fuck the universe.
Well, Well, and yeah, but I don't see the path that he took leading to what Darth Vader was in the original trilogy.
And
Like,
I
I
think
could
that
see.
again, I think that falls to George Lucas because
Oh.
the dialogue wasn't there. Like, we weren't communicated what needed to be communicated between Anakin and Obi-Wan and Anakin and Padme.
He didn't
And
have a
like
rotel.
Anakin never explicitly stated like the turmoil he was in there. It was just brooding shots with John Williams' beautiful score.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's like there's all this conflict happening and we're just kind of left on the sideline.
Yeah.
So
No, I agree.
I love the fact that George Lucas was just ousted. You're done. Sorry.
I think
And
that
Star
I.
Wars is going its own route. Kathleen Kennedy, the producer in charge of like Lucasfilm, like I love her. She's doing a great job.
I think so too. And like, you know, and I mean, here's something to say for the prequels. You know, they are, I think that they're decent movies, but when you compare them to the original trilogy, they fall flatter than they should on their own merit. Because like, there are some really good parts to the original trilogy that I like, that I personally like, or
Well,
the prequels. But when you
they take a
compare them
different
to the
genre.
Yeah. More of a space opera than a than that kind
Right.
of energy.
Right, exactly. They took like George Lucas decided to take himself and the universe too seriously and over justify and over explain everything. So, let's see. Brett has crying baby over there. So, let's see.
We could talk about the Stormlight Archives
Okay,
because they're fantastic.
in between kid crying, this kid is not going to bed. I hate to do this. We might need to just go ahead and wrap this up
No,
since.
that's okay. I literally just said we might need to close this because Brett has crying baby,
This
and worry
is.
not, Russ and I have been just nerding out all over the place about Star
Oh,
Wars.
no, I believe it, which was kind of like the perfect subject matter to throw out for this whole mess happening. I was like, I don't know what's going on with him, but
Oh, I could talk about Star Wars some more.
Oh, I
Same.
know, for sure. And we can dive more into that here in a couple weeks when we do another one of these. Hopefully, kid sleeps and.
Well, I mean, The Last Jedi is 2.5 weeks away, so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
Ha
we can dive into that. So,
Yeah. Agreed.
this was our first attempt at this style, so it can only get better. But I had a really good time.
I enjoyed it. I think we beat some topics like a dead horse, and we
For sure.
did not quite fulfill the potential of some other topics. But
But
I'm happy to be back. I really am.
no,
I
and
enjoy
I'm
it.
just super happy to have your voice back for sure.
Aw, sweet
Goodness,
cheeks,
it's
you're handsome.
hilarious.
Next
By the
week we
way, what do
will
you
go
mean
ahead.
I don't look like myself? Just throwing that out
You
there.
okay? So for those of you that are not included in our Facebook chat of like six people, I finally saw Russ and Alex, and they were in the last episode. I finally saw what they actually look like. I've known them both. Like Russ, I've known you for probably 2 years now, a year and a half,
Yeah.
and Alex, I've known for almost a year. I've never seen their faces. I saw their faces recently because we became Facebook friends, and I was like, "Wow, they look nothing like what I thought they looked like." It's neither good or bad, Russ. I promise. You're just like I hear a voice, and I just like attach an appearance to it, and whatever.
That's all right.
You
Alex
look.
looks nothing. Nothing like he did. Luthien. Luthien looks nothing like he. Like I expected him to.
But no, like
Right.
you, Russ, you look younger than I thought you would.
Oh. Thanks, I think.
He does have a very
It's not.
cute, adorable young face.
It's not like good or bad. Don't like take that. Like, oh
It's
my
very
God, I thought
bad.
I was like
It's
super
I have a
old.
baby face. I have a very,
No.
very baby face. That's why I grow the beard.
Oh dear, I just can't do beards. I literally just shaved. So, like the whole No Shave November thing, I made it to, what is today? The 20, well, the 27th, really. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. And
Yeah, I
gone.
started No Shave November a couple of years ago
Like
and
back in
just
2006.
and then kind of forgot that the month ended and became No Shave December, the No Shave January, so on and so
It's so much
forth.
easier to just knock a face. Because it's like, oh,
What looks
I don't have
like
to do that. It's like that thing I got on my
I've had a
routine.
lot of people tell me it thins my face. Like I don't look as fat as I am with a beard. So go me.
Look, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Men's beards are contouring. It's like contouring makeup for women. That's what men's
I
beards
was really
do.
hoping you were going to go, men's beards are contouring, women's beards are.
What I mean
I was really hoping
is,
for that. It's the
men's beards serve the same purposes that makeup does for women because they can contour, they can change their face around to make it look however they want it. That's what my beard does for me.
and it doesn't
I
take me
can
an hour and a
eat
half in the
soda and it's
morning.
fine. Well, no, because I set it one way and then I leave it for the rest of my life.
Exactly.
Then I have to just trim.
Well, anyway, I was Brett. We had Nick back, and Russell joined us again.
I was Russell.
Not Nickelback. Nick
Not,
back. It's a
no, oh
big
my.
difference.
Oh, can I call you that from now on?
Please
Please call
don't.
you
No.
Nickelback.
As long as he uses that word, you're
Please
more
don't.
than welcome to call him Nickelback.
Bungus.
Nickelback Bungus. That should be your D&D name.
I have weapons in my artillery now as well, so screw
Oh,
you.
Lord.
So we are, once again, we are just some guardians. Next week we'll dive back into Destiny with a couple of the events that have occurred and information there with upcoming Curse of Osiris DLC coming really soon. Oh my God, really, really soon.
I only dive in a speedo, so
You can find us on the Facebooks, facebook.com/justsomeguardians. We're on Twitter, JSGcast. Justsomeguardians.podbean. Where else are we?
and a partridge in oh
A
wait, sorry.
pear tree.
I thought that
When we
from
do our
memes.
podcast, this is so unprofessional. I'm so tired from the baby. I'm sorry.
You are fine.
When we do our podcasts, we stream them live and then upload them to Podbean. So you can find those at twitch.tv/justsomeguardians. You can join the conversation there, and we will watch those comments as they come through when they come through and people decide to watch and comment. I don't know why you would, but if you do, we'll bring you into
If
the
you do,
cast.
just prepare to prepare,
Prepare
because
to prepare.
preparations
Questions this time.
is showing preparedness.
So, yeah, and then once again, just a little plug, when we're doing other stuff throughout the week as a clan, I'll stream it on my personal Twitch just for the fun of it, and that's twitch.tv/ Elmer Fudd Games. Yay.
ELMM
No one knows.
FUDD
FUDD.
double M double
Double
D.
D.
Oh my God, that reminds me of that old Charlotte's Web. Double E, double F, double R, double D. Like that goose just wants to double everything. I mean, does no one know what I'm
last
talking about?
thing.
I'm old.
No, no one likes you. No, I understood the
Okay.
reference. And then one more thing before we close up again. We're crazy. This is us. If this is what you like and you want to join the clan, you can find us at bungie.net. I believe it's in some order. It's clan slash just some guardians or just some guardians slash clan. You can apply there or find myself, Elmer Fudd. In game, we are on PS4. Send us a message, say what's up, and we'll bring you into the clan and you can join in our shenanigans. So there we
You
have it.
might end up, you may end up lucky enough to hear Raid Elmo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Raid Elmo is important.
Brett, maybe I should do a whole episode as Raid Elmo.
So on that note, that'd be super fun. So we're gonna close this here. What was Luthien's sweet freaking our new slogan? What was that clan slogan? Mutual chaos and utter incompetency. Was that it?
Utter incompetency. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Just some guardians. Yes. Mutual chaos and utter incompetency. Fare thee well.